State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
As an 18-year-old, I let my mistakes kind of take over my life. I was 0.5 credits away from completing high school, and I didn't do it.
10 years later, at age 28, Jackie finished her high school diploma.
When I found out that I was pregnant, I know that I had to do something for myself if I wanted to make her a better person and provide a better life for her. My family never stopped pushing for me to be better because they knew what I could become and who I could become as a person. My support team is amazing. The educational director, my sister, and even my 7-year-old daughter has just been more than the support that I could ask for. I've been given an opportunity, and I'm just thankful for it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
When you need to know.
And then we have Prairie Creek Park, which will be in the middle of May. We're looking at a grand opening and ribbon cutting then.
On the air first when seconds count.
There's still a lot of people around the country who are at risk for having this illness. We know that using masks and hand sanitation, keeping our distance, really makes a big difference.
The news team you've come to depend on.
It is one of the few cancers that we have that is preventable, meaning that we can detect precancerous things or things that can become cancer before they become cancer and remove them.
Your official weather station.
Really, once the county put the red flag warning out, so to speak, we had a lot of people stay home. I don't know why, if you can't look out the window and see that you need to stay home.
When you need to know, WILO.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. We've got about another 10 or 12 minutes here before we bring on our next guest. That'll be Tim Newton, the voice of Purdue football. So until then, any comments or questions, 659-3338 and 1-800-447-4463 are the numbers. Got a couple more things from the NBA before we move on to something else. Rick Carlisle resigned on Thursday as the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks. Don't be shocked if Carlisle becomes a big candidate for the Indiana Pacers job, which also, we'll get into that thing in just a minute too, but that's been kind of a crazy record. Carlisle was 555 and 478 during his 13th season in Dallas. He set a franchise win for a franchise record for wins and was the third longest tenured coach behind San Antonio's Greg Popovich and Miami's Eric Spoelstra. They also had a world championship, in 2012, as they beat the Miami Heat during that year. Celtics made a move yesterday, which kind of surprised some people, but from what I'm being heard and what I'm being told, it's really not that surprising, as they traded the All-Star guard Kemba Walker to Oklahoma City, and in exchange got Al Horford back in return. The significance about this is now the Oklahoma City Thunder now have 18 first-round draft picks over the next 7 years, including three in this year's first round. And if everything happens to break right, they could have two of the top five picks. So that could be very, very interesting to see what happens with Oklahoma City as they try to rebuild from, you know, from basically ground zero. You know, that's been a stop-off point for a lot of people, like Kevin Durant, James Harden. You know, those are just some of the people who have been in Oklahoma City that have not stayed there for very long period of time. Of course, it's a small market, and that's another reason why one of the small market teams do not do well come that way and in professional sports leagues. Celtics also made some news this week. As our coaching search remains focused in the ranks of the assistants with a wave of second interviews expected to come with Brooklyn's Emi Udoka, Milwaukee's Darvin Ham, the LA Clippers' Chauncey Billups. Udoka, Ham, and Billups have been among prominent candidates left in the search, but aren't necessarily the full complement of who the Celtics might be looking at. In his first year as an assistant with the Clippers, Billups, also recently interviewed for the Portland Trailblazers head coaching job, has drawn interest from several more teams with openings including Washington, Orlando, and New Orleans. Billups is a prominent candidate in the Blazers coach search, has been said. Billups was a 5-time NBA All-Star and 17 seasons of a player, including MVP of the 2004 NBA Finals with the Detroit Pistons. So I readily expect Chauncey Billups to be a head coach in the NBA here real soon, because I just don't see it any other way. He's got too many possibilities to not come up with something. Terry Stotts' name has now been mentioned as a possibility for the Indiana Pacers head coaching job. Of course, he was a former Portland Trailblazers head coach who they agreed to moderately, you know, to just go ahead and, you know, get away from each other. Stotts would be an interesting choice for the Pacers. Also, the Pacers have interviewed Mike D'Antoni, who was also in an interview with the Pacers during the prior coaching search, has once again been linked to the position. Via various reports, though, he is said to be interested in Portland's opening. From a year ago, on his innovative schemes and ability to empower playmakers. So those are some of the candidates out there. And I assume Billups and Darvin Ham and those people will also be a good possibility for probable possibilities here for the Pacers. And also, as you probably know by now, there are currently 7 positions open in the NBA. But we mentioned almost every one of them there. So it'll be interesting to see what happens as the coaching carousel continues to spin in the NBA. College basketball notes from this week. Purdue got a commitment from a 4-star small forward, Camden Heidi. He's an A-State bringing his talents to West Lafayette. He's a Minneapolis native. He's 6'5". He's the third commitment to Purdue's basketball class of 2022. Heidi is ranked by Rivals as the number 71 overall player in his graduating class. He chose Purdue over 10 other offers, including Minnesota, Ohio State, Wisconsin, Nebraska, and Iowa from the Big Ten. Golden Black's Brian Newbert reports that Heidi's father, Craig, is a Lafayette native and a graduate of Jefferson High School. So Camden Heidi will be coming to be Purdue in 2022 from the basketball situation. Also, former Purdue basketball forward and standout Robbie Hummel's got to don the Golden Black this summer. With the men of Mackey, Purdue's alumni team in this summer's TBT, or the Basketball Tournament. The alumni squad is entering its second year of competition in the single elimination winner-take-all tournament. The men of Mackey's roster is made up mostly of all Purdue players. Besides Hummel, they've got Isaac Haas, John Octius, and A.J. Hammond, so that'll make that interesting this year for that. That should be kind of fun to watch, coached by Ryan Smith, who used to coach it over here at Clinton Prairie. Hummel is a current member of the Team USA's 3-on-3 basketball teams. He missed the Olympics and this year's qualifying tournament. During his time at Purdue, the Valparaiso native was named All Big Ten first team 3 times in 2008, 2010, 2012. He was a second team State Farm Coaches All-American and a 2-time honorable mention AP All-American. So Robbie Hummel's will be playing with the TNT, the basketball team for Minnemackey. That's coming up this summer. I don't know exactly when the dates are for that tournament, but that's coming up here this summer. As you well know also, there's been several name changes. Nickname changes. We're going to get to that here in a second. I found this week, came on the Colts wire. The Indianapolis Colts are on a list of teams who are not doing well with their player vaccination rates. Besides the Colts, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Arizona Cardinals, and Los Angeles Chargers are the main teams that are not doing not as many vaccinated players as possible. Now, typically, vaccination wouldn't be noteworthy, but because COVID-19 can keep a player from getting on the field, it's going to be a storyline to watch for the Colts during the preseason and regular season. The league hasn't made the vaccinations mandatory with the release of the protocols for the vaccinated and unvaccinated players. There will be much incentive to go with the former option. From Doug Farrar of the Touchdown Wire on the difference between protocol and between vaccinated and unvaccinated players. From Farrar, the quote, the difference is pretty stark. Players who are not fully vaccinated have tested positive for COVID every day. They must wear masks at all times at team facilities and during team travel. They must remain physically distant from others in team facilities. They must quarantine after any high-risk exposure to COVID. They will undergo travel restrictions. They must be limited regarding personnel in the weight room. They can't eat with their teammates in the cafeteria. There are no social media, marketing, sponsorship activities permitted. They may not use the team sauna or steam room. They can't leave team hotels to eat in restaurants, and they can't interact with anyone outside of the team's traveling party during team travel. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the Colts decide to handle this as the season goes on, but they are one of the four teams being mentioned who don't have very many vaccinated football players for the upcoming season. As we said, there's been some interesting notes coming up on nickname changes. We're going to start with the CFL. And the only reason I'm starting with the CFL is because, which is a Canadian Football League, is a very long-time outstanding franchise up in Canada. The Edmonton Eskimos have announced that they are changing their team name to the Elks. This move comes 10 months after the club dropped its long-time name, Eskimos. It followed a similar decision by the NFL's Washington team amid pressure on franchises to eliminate racist or stereotypical names. The CFL franchise has been called the Edmonton Football Team until Tuesday's announcement. The Eskimos moniker had been tied to sports teams in Edmonton since the 19th century, but critics said the name was derogatory and a colonial-era term for Inuit. In February of 2020, the Edmonton franchise announced it was keeping the Eskimos name after a year-long research period that involved Inuit leaders and community members across Canada. But then on July the 8th, the club promised to speed up another review of its name, noting, quote, a lot has happened, unquote, since the decision in February. One of the sponsors, which is National Car and Home Insurance Provider Bel Air Direct, has announced it will be rethinking its relationship with the team because of the name. Others say they welcome a review. That has all happened as the NFL's Washington team said it will undergo a thorough review of its nickname, and a similar announcement was made by Major League Baseball's Cleveland team, which is switching its name next year. Speaking of that situation, there was a story come out this week on that. Is there baseball, or the president of baseball operations, Chris Antonetti, came out and saying how difficult a process this really is. He says he's putting together a list of list names and assessing them from a trademarks and copyright standpoint. The franchise trademarks includes applications for several names, including the Natives, Warriors, Foresters, Guardians, the Cleveland Baseball Club, Heroes, and Squires. The one that had been out there the most was Spiders, which I think is not too bad of a nickname for them. The Indians currently own the rights to Blues, Naps, and Broncos. Team owner Paul Dolan said in March that a name change might not come before the beginning of the 2022 season, reiterating that the long process is long and difficult. The Indians are only the latest professional organization to announce a name change. NFL's Washington team recently dropped their previous name, as did the Edmonton Elks. We're going to take a break right now and hopefully get Tim Newton on the show. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm insurance agent, Susan Casper.
When I was little, I didn't talk for a long time. I liked things to always be the same. Anything new or different would scare and upset me. I was very sensitive to lights and sounds. It was almost like I had bigger eyes and ears than everyone else. So I built secret hiding places where nothing could get in. I didn't like looking people in the eye. It made me feel uncomfortable. I'd throw big tantrums over little things, like when my socks didn't match. Sometimes I'd do the same things over and over. Until one day, I found out I had autism. My family got me help. Slowly, I learned how to live with it better.
You can see signs of autism in children as young as 18 months. Early intervention can make a lifetime of difference. Learn the signs at autismspeaks.org/signs. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Your free local online newspaper, ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, is your number one source for the latest news in Clinton and surrounding counties.
But that's not all we have to offer. Listen to archived audio from the past five programs on the Party Line program every day. Plus, make sure you chime in our weekly poll question at the bottom of the page. ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper.
State Farm agents are one of a kind. They understand insurance and share a genuine concern for others. State Farm agent Susan Casper works very hard every day to help people find the right products for their insurance and financial needs. From homeowners and renters to retirement planning, please call Susan Casper today to talk about which products are best for you. Get to a better state. State Farm.
WILO and Casper Media are members of the exclusive International Broadcasters Idea Bank. Casper Media and 99 other broadcasters from around the world come together to trade ideas on how to better serve our communities and our listeners. A member of the International Broadcasters Idea Bank since 1991, Casper Media has hosted the Idea Bank convention throughout the years. Casper Media and Idea Bank, constantly working to better serve you. Depend on WILO.
Welcome back to Inside the Huddle, sponsored by your State Farm Insurance agent, Susan Casper. I'm your host, Ken Hartman. About ready to be joined now by our next guest, who will be the voice of the Purdue Boilermakers football team, Tim Newton. Tim, good morning. How you doing?
Ken, I'm fine. How are you today?
I'm doing just fine. It's, you know, I just looked outside for the first time in about an hour. It looks like we got a little bit of sun over here finally, so.
You know, our daughter FaceTimed us yesterday from the northeast side of Indianapolis, as they were getting ping pong size hail, which was quite a sight to see. We didn't. I don't think we had any of that here, though.
No, we didn't. You know, the only time we got hit hard was about 7:30 yesterday morning here, and then I don't think we got hail, but boy, it rained hard though for about half hour.
Yeah.
So, I noticed on WTHR they were showing pictures of the streets and bars down in Bloomington. They were flooded last night. So
I saw that. That's kind of a frightening thing, but I saw it didn't stop the people from staying in the bars. So
no, that won't do that. You always have to be in a boat first, or you're going to be sticking them someplace else. So how you been?
Right. Okay, I'm ready. You know, we're getting closer to football. I believe, if my math is right, we're 11 weeks away from the start of the football season.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's getting closer and closer, and you know, we're getting closer and closer to all of our big stuff. We got to do this next month for us. It's going to be crazy over here. So we're going to have to, you know, it's going to be fun here for a while. But I noticed where, you know, Purdue announced he got several kickoff times and TV assignments for this upcoming season.
They did. And in fact, we'll start under the lights on September 4th. Mm-hmm. The Oregon State game will be a night game at Ross-Ade Stadium, which is a nice way to kick off the season.
Yep.
Then Purdue will go to Connecticut and Notre Dame the following 2 weeks before coming back home. One of the things that the networks always agree to do every year is they let the schools know very early on when their homecoming games will be so that they can plan all of the university's homecoming activities around that. So I do know that Purdue's homecoming game, October 2nd, I believe, again, it's Minnesota, will be a noon kickoff. So that's get set. So I think five of the first 6 weeks are set in terms of game time at this point.
Well, that's a good thing, so people can get their schedule ready, and depending upon how the year goes, they can dictate, you know, what the last 5 weeks of the season looks like. So,
sure. Well, and then the networks, that what they like to do, they have what they call a 6-day window. So usually you'll find out. In most cases, you'll find out usually about 2 weeks ahead of time when your game is going to be. So they'll if you're playing, they'll let you know in the game time 2 weeks from now, unless they put that in what they call a 6-day window, which is where they only have to let you know the week before. The networks try to hold those until later in the season so that they can take the best matchups in November that will be of the most interest. So, you know, if you've got a team that's a surprise team, you don't want to set all the kickoff times in advance, because you may want to put a team in prime time or give them a better slot depending on how they're doing in the season. So, you know, it's something that we've dealt with for years, and Yeah, on the radio side, it doesn't matter. Let's just tell us. We'll play at 8 in the morning, 8 at night. Just let us know so we can get a pregame show on an hour and a half time.
Yeah. And I take it this is going to be a year where you're going to be able to actually be at the sites this time through.
Yeah, well, you know, actually we were last year. Purdue, we traveled with football all season. Now, I say that we only played 6 games.
That's
and
right.
Four of the 6 that we played last year were at home. So the only games that we had to travel to last year were Illinois, which we all is always a drive over.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's about a little less than a 2-hour drive. And then Minnesota, we couldn't travel with the team last year, so actually we all wound up driving up to Minneapolis for that game. So, yeah, I think we'll be on site. Basketball was different last year because basketball we did not travel, but I anticipate that changing too, so. I'm hoping that we're back to normal. I saw that Indiana announced, I think yesterday, that they'll be allowed to have full capacity for all of their fall sports, and I would anticipate the same thing happening here at Purdue.
Yeah, I would think too, especially after the fact that I was last week Illinois, the whole state announced they're going to be full opening for them. So I have a feeling that that's going to happen. So
yeah, I think. You know, at this point, and you know, without getting into politics, without getting into any of the other stuff, I think most of the people who have wanted to get vaccinated have had access to do so.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at some point you just got to kind of open the curtain and say, okay, let's go, let's get back to where we were, and you know, this is the next step in toward doing that.
But obviously, as we usually talk about, injuries is one thing, but really Purdue has got to be at least 2-1 getting out of the preseason, don't they?
Oh, there's no question. I think that the first two games are so important this year. You mentioned we play Oregon State here, and then you go to Connecticut, a team that really has struggled. In fact, a team that didn't play any games last fall.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they haven't played a college football game now since 2019. Because you're going to go to Notre Dame in week 3, which, you know, the Irish will be a preseason top 20 or top 10 team, and that's going to be a challenge. So, those first two games are imperative, and that's been one of the challenges that Purdue has had, throwing last year out because you didn't play any non-conference games, but they've gotten off to a poor start in the non-conference in the last few seasons, and it's just so hard in the Big Ten. If you don't start your non-conference with a winning record, you're going to have a hard time getting to that 6 or 7 win plateau that you're going to need to go on and play in a bowl game.
Mm-hmm. How good is it to see Notre Dame back on the schedule?
Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. We go up there this year, and then I believe they come here next season. It's it's a game that for years I think a lot of us had taken for granted because you played Notre Dame every year. So certainly they've had great success in the last few years with Brian Kelly, and I would anticipate that'll be a very talented team, and it's going to be a challenge. Purdue has to go to both Notre Dame and Ohio State this season, so. You know, you've got two pretty difficult games on the road, but it's a great atmosphere up there, great tradition, and it's going to be fun to be back in South Bend for a Saturday.
I see where Jeff Brohm made a change on the defensive side with his coaches. Instead of having one defensive coordinator, he's basically going to have 3 or more. So what's the reasoning behind that?
Well, I've had a lot of people ask me about that. I don't think they're going to go rock, paper, scissors after every play to see what defensive call is next. A lot of that has to do with prestige. More of it, frankly, has to do with money. They are allowed to basically pay higher salaries if they have a title of a defensive coordinator. You've got two guys in Ron English and Mark Hagan who come in with a lot of experience. Ron English was a head football coach for a few seasons, so they're going to be certainly involved in the game planning, but when it comes down on Saturdays to make decisions about the defense, Brad Lambert will be making the call. He's one of the 3 co-defensive coordinators that Purdue has listed, but a lot of that stuff, when you see things like that, it's more often title and money related than it is job related, but it's you've got 4 brand new coaches on the defensive side.
Yep.
They didn't retain any of the defensive coaches from last year, and I do think one of the things that Coach Brohm has talked about, and I think you will see this year, is you're going to see a much more aggressive defense than you saw. You'll see more blitzing. You'll see more press coverage at the line of scrimmage. I think he's not a fan, as people who've seen Jeff's offenses play know, that he likes to take chances and press the issue. I don't think he feels his defenses have done that as much as he would like. So he wants to bring in people who have the philosophy that we're going to get after it. And if you make mistakes, you make mistakes, but it's going to be mistakes of aggression. And so I think you'll see a different style defense this season.
Do you think all this change has been good because this will be his third set of coordinators defensively, and is that working or not?
Yeah, well, you know, the Nick Holt thing was, you know, Nick Holt and Jeff Brohm went back to their Western Kentucky days, and I think that Nick was just ready for a change. Jeff would be the first to admit the hiring of Bob Diaco as a defensive coordinator was a mistake. It was just frankly a bad hire. And I think rather than let that problem fester for another season, it was time to, you know, to clean out the closet there and go in a different direction. It's always a challenge if you're a defensive player and you're going to have your third different coach in 3 years. Certainly, yes, it's going to be different, especially if you're changing your scheme, which Purdue is doing this year. But, I think you're better off making a change in that situation rather than saying, well, let's stick with this guy for another year to see if we'll get a different result, because I don't think the result would have been any different this season.
You know, and the other thing of it is, with somebody who is very focused on offense, as Jeff is, you know, they like to, as you said, take chances and get a little bit more aggressive. And the thing of it is that sometimes puts your defense in not a very good position.
That's true. But, you know, I think Jeff looks at it from the standpoint of when I'm calling offensive plays, what bothers me? What's the hardest thing for me to counter? And I believe he believes it's constant pressure. So let's do that. And if it's good for one side, it's good for both sides. Let's try to do that ourselves. Let's put more pressure on the other team's offenses and make them make quick decisions to put them into bad situations, try to force some more turnovers. So, but yeah, you're right. I mean, when you blitz, you're going to be in man coverage most of the time. So you're going to put a lot of more pressure on your defensive secondary. You're going to put a lot more pressure on your linebackers to be able to cover running backs and tight ends out of the backfield. So it will open you up to the possibilities of big plays, but it also will give you the opportunity to make a bit more big plays yourself defensively.
How did the preseason camp go?
Well, we've heard well. None of us were able to go in and see it. And I've always taken spring camp with a little bit of a grain of salt, and this year was no exception because so many guys miss it. If you've got to, especially in a year like last year where the season pushed back and you were playing up through December, you've got, if somebody needs shoulder surgery or clean up with their knee or ankle, they're not going to play spring ball. And so there were probably, I don't know what the exact numbers were, but I would say at least a third, if not half, of the guys that we expect to see on the field this year as starters missed at least part, if not all, of spring football because of injury. And you're also not going to push guys like George Karloftis and David Bell because you know what those guys can do. You don't want to take the chance of getting them hurt. So spring ball gives you an opportunity, first of all, to implement a new system, which is important, but it also gives you an opportunity to build some depth. So those guys that ordinarily, when the season starts, don't get a lot of reps do in spring ball. But I've always, you know, it's a nice thing to do on a nice spring day to go out and watch football practice, but I've never put a whole lot of stock into it.
Is there anybody or bodies, I should say, that may be on the cusp of breaking out, do you think, that will break out this year?
You know, the one guy that we keep hearing more and more about, and I'm anxious to see him play, is T.J. Sheffield, who did not play a whole lot the last couple of seasons because he was behind Rondale Moore. But he's a slot receiver. He's got a lot of speed. He's got good hands, and I think he's a guy that they will count on. You know, he's not going to be a Rondale Moore this season because, you know, Rondale Moores don't grow on trees. But T.J. has got really good speed. I think he's going to catch a lot of balls out of the slot, and I think he's a guy that we could really see step forward this year.
The quarterback situation, we've talked off and on about that. Is that still going to be a wide-open situation?
I think it will be, and I really don't know which way they'll go, and it wouldn't surprise me again if both of those guys, if Aiden O'Connell and Jack Plummer both play, and I also wouldn't be surprised if they put a package or two in for Austin Burton, who's the graduate transfer, or the, I'm sorry, not the graduate transfer, but the transfer they got from UCLA. I think there's an opportunity for him to get on the field some this year. I think if they had played the bucket games last year in December, we would have seen Burton in at least some packages in those games. So it'll be a wide-open competition going into the fall.
You know, and the other thing I really wanted to kind of just mention here is the fact that Derek Barnes and Rondell Moore now have both signed their contracts for the pros this year.
Yeah, and both great kids. I mean, Rondell Moore graduated from Purdue in 2.5 years and just signed a $6.9 million contract, and Derek Barnes signed his this year. And there's a kid that was not a highly recruited player out of high school. I think was a two-star player coming out of Kentucky and really has played his way into the NFL. And I think because of his abilities on special teams and his versatility where he can play either an end or a linebacker, I think he's got a chance to stick and have a career in the NFL for a few seasons. So great kids, and I'm happy they have the opportunity to play.
Yeah, and Rondell, I think, is going to have I think he'll be fine out in Arizona. So that's a wide open offense out there.
It's a wide open offense. You know, that's an offense that's certainly built on speed with Kyler Murray at quarterback, and I think you'll see Rondell used there a lot of the ways he was used at Purdue. They'll use him on jet sweeps. Mm-hmm. They'll use him in the kick return games. Assuming that Rondell can stay healthy, and that's always been the question mark.
Yep.
I think he's got a chance to have a really productive career.
I totally agree with you on that. Tim, anything else we need to bring up before I let you go?
No, I just get these next 11 weeks going, and, everybody get your summer vacations in and enjoy that. It's time to play some football here once September starts.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of anxious to see what's going to happen this year, but I think everything's going to be hopefully back to normal by this fall anyway, so.
I'm right there with you. All right. Let's play some ball.
Let's do it. Tim, as always, thanks much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. You take good care, and we'll talk to you later on, okay?
Ken, thanks for having me.
No problem. You take care. Bye-bye. That was Tim Newton, the voice of the Purdue Boilermakers, and that's going to wrap it up for this week's show. Thanks to our guest, who was Tim Newton from Purdue, along with Tom Burnett, the commissioner of the Southland Conference. Thanks to our sponsor, who's been Susan Casper, State Farm Insurance. So join us next week for another Inside the Huddle. So until then, I'm Ken Hartman. Take care and have a great week.
This has been Inside the Huddle on WILO, brought to you by Susan Casper of State Farm Insurance in Frankfort. Join us next Saturday at 9 a.m. for another edition of Inside the Huddle on WILO.